When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, after last week with Leike on the pod, fellow Cowboy fan, I've got here with me probably someone who's not going to be as happy to hear that song there. Anton, great to have you back on the pod, mate. Probably not so great timing for you, though.
Hello, mate. Yeah, lovely to be back on the pod. It's been a voluptuous weekend. I've enjoyed the game.
Voluptuous.
Yeah, it's been, you know, lots of ins and outs and lovely curvy bits and some bits that I didn't really want to celebrate, yeah. But, the game against the Cowboys, you and me, we've come together and, it was a close one as I expected, but unlucky on the day, but well done to you boys.
Oh, mate, it was absolutely never in doubt. I said when we were 6 points down with seven to go, whatever it was, I just said, CHT is going to bottle this from 10 metres out, and lo and behold, there he did. And obviously, Val Holmes is going to kick a 40-metre field goal. It's just in the waters.
Yeah, well, Val needed the confidence boost of the four origins. So, you know, there's lots of fans of the Queenslanders over the ditch. So that's one little play for Val that he can, you know, kind of hold on to as he goes into the Origin arena.
I love it. Speaking of Origin, we've just had a bit of breaking news. Obviously, the New South Wales team, I don't know why they're bothering trying, but they've named their, it's a 19-man squad, fresh, hot off the press. It's not that surprising. We've heard a bit of rumblings during the week about some Penrith players getting a call up. Obviously, Brian To'o and Jerome Luai, they're both going to make their debut, so that's not too surprising there. What do you reckon about Gerbo at prop forward, though? That's a bit... bit of a head scratcher, as is Tarek Sims getting a fortuitous ride into the side with Frizzell going down earlier today. But yeah, a strange couple of forwards there.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to have New South Wales be a bit short on props, but it just seems like that's where we're at this year. Just going to say we, because I'm just going to mark myself as a New South Wales supporter. It seems like we're just a bit light there, and harsh one for Clemmer, because I think, you know, he obviously has been in and around the squad for a long time, but he's been really out of form. He might even be carrying a bit of an injury as well, from what I've heard. So, I'm not quite sure how that works, but he's a ball player as well, so it sort of gives a bit of extra dimension there. But be interesting to see how that works out. And the To'o call as well, that's, you know, I mean, a lot of people have him. Like, almost everybody in the top 10,000 has him, so... it's a bit of a strike for just about everybody, so it sort of cancels that out. Trbojevic, I'm not sure how he's going to go in as a starting prop, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's all, I guess, meat and potatoes. He'll shovel the ball on all that kind of stuff, so I don't see it being too much of a tough one for him. Any names that you were surprised not to see, or maybe for Supercoach, any names that you wanted to see there that haven't been named? I know you're kind of nervous leading up to this game. You buy plan for weeks on weeks and weeks, and then it just gets ruined with injury, suspensions, and Origin call-ups. But any names for you that you'd hope to see there that aren't?
Well, the main ones were, for me, were Madison and Clint Gutherson. I was hoping those two were there because I don't have either of them. And I didn't intend to buy them for the purposes of round 13 either. I've used max trades so far, so I'm pretty keen to hold on to my fullbacks as they are. I've gone for Turbo. I have James Tedesco there now. He will become Ryan Pappenhausen when he becomes free. But apart from that, I'm pretty keen to just, you know, hold fire on as many unnecessary trades as I can. I think a lot of people, and this happens every year, focus on that round 13. that first Origin round, and you know, just make sure that they've got as many players as they can, and then when it gets to round 17, you know, you try and shuffle your side around, but then you kind of realize, oh well, I don't actually have that many trades left now, so I can't bring in the amount of players that I want to bring in. So there's a few players I think that, you know, I'm happy to hold on to. I'm happy to cop maybe having a couple less than I would like for this round, but you know, certainly not worth ripping my side apart, I don't think, you know, just to get that one extra name that might score well. You know, I've kind of had a plan the last couple of weeks, so I'm just going to stick to it.
Yeah, love it. And obviously we've got the five trade week as well. I think it's between round 15 and 16. So, I mean, that's the week where you go pretty hard at round 17 as well. So having burned all your trades, so it's going to make the run home a little nervy. I think we spoke off air. You're sitting around the 10, 15K mark maybe. So you kind of got to go hard at the buys, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. And I think a lot of other people listening to this might understand, you know, when you go, you sort of go, are you a head-to-head player or an overall player? And then you get down to about 15,000 at about round 11 or 12 and you go, oh, I'm a head-to-head player actually. I was doing that all along.
always been an H2H.
Yeah, that's right. So look, you know, I'm kind of, unfortunately, I have one foot in each camp. I always start the season only playing overall, but I have been playing in the same league for, you know, probably 13 years with family back in NZ. So there are certain matchups, like I had this weekend where I had to cancel out Nathan Cleary as captain for the guy who I was playing against. And otherwise, I would have looped Nico Hines, but I had to cancel him out and I managed to beat him. But it probably cost me a lot of points. And that's the kind of, I don't know, it's the poison chalice that I like to drink from. I think overall, you know, I am going to probably use the next few weeks to just maybe bring a couple of people in, but I'll try and be a bit more conservative between now and 17 and use the buy round to really bring in those must-haves or injury cover.
How'd you go this week? So obviously you got the win over the brother. That's a big tick. As a head-to-head player, obviously that's what you're going for. But how'd your overall team go points-wise?
Yeah, we're pretty good. 13-32 at the moment before updates. I was pretty happy with the new inclusion. So I went for Brandon Smith from the Storm, who he and Nico Hines seemed to be doing a tag team, throwing the ball to each other and flopping over. So I was pretty happy with that. That was a good start. And then Matty Burton as well. So he was kind of around 13 purchase, but I also like the fact that he's got that flexibility with halfback and 5/8, because I have Tyson Gamble floating around there, unfortunately, as well. So if someone goes down, I don't really want him to be the guy who has to fill in. He'll be playing next week, of course, but apart from that, I don't really trust him to be a reliable scorer. So Matt Burton in the centres, you know, the way the Panthers are playing, I've got no reason not to start him in my 17 each week, especially if they've got a agreeable matchup. So yeah, those were the two big guys, and obviously a lot of people had Laurie. Hines went pretty big. Also David Fifita, who I held. There's just some guys where,
ooh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes you have to choose who you're gonna trade out and who you're gonna hold on to. And I think for me, he's a guy that I was always wanting to get back, and I, you know, he was so expensive to bring in when I brought him in. I just thought, like, right, you're going to sit there for the season, my friend. So he was held, and I've done the same with Angus Crichton as well. I know he was a popular sell last week, but I just know I'm going to need him. And in the forwards as well, it's quite hard to find, you know, those really reliable guys. Front row is a lot harder, but even the second row is sometimes proving quite unreliable. So I'm happy just to hold on to him. And then the other guy was Hadawira Naira, who played really well for the Raiders this week. And he's just becoming more and more that 80-minute guy. And he looks one of the most likely guys each week when he takes the field for the Raiders, even though maybe they're not at their strongest right now. He always seems to be giving it a red-hot crack and hits the line pretty hard. So 60 in base this week, which is pretty good, and final score of about 82. So I won't be selling him anytime in the near future. And, yeah, a good round 17 number.
A couple of things I picked up there. Very wise calls from someone who's burned all their trades not to trade out Fifita and Crichton. Just a smart player, I reckon. And the best pronunciation of CHN's name I think I've ever heard on this podcast, obviously goes without saying when we get the Kiwi on. And overall, it sounds like you had a pretty good week. I think you said 1330 off air.
Yep, 1332 at the moment.
Lovely. I think you pipped me by about 7 points. So you and I think had very decent weeks, having a look around at some of the other scores in here. I've taken a look through at most of the leagues. There's a lot of 1100s, mostly 1200s to 13, I think is where most people have landed pre-updates. But yeah, geez, it's almost a really big week for getting the captaincy right. So you talked about a couple of guys like Nathan Cleary, obviously not going to the moon like he has been over the last couple of weeks in a pretty down game for him. And then Tommy Turbo this afternoon, just if you had a captain on either of those two and you did go Nico or someone like that, it basically made or broke your week. So I think that's going to be the story for a lot of people coming out. All right, Anton, let's get into the usual gear. We got the Rocker, Flopper, and Shocker of the Week, Trade Fail. We'll go through the injuries and suspension news, and then the game by game. So without further ado, let's go to the Rocker. Generic rock sound 101 right there. Rocker, of course. I thought I might have given this to Dan Gagai, but no, I've gone Nico Hines. I thought the way he towed up the Broncos, I should say. Got to watch it live. He's a pretty handy player, just pops up everywhere. As you said, him and Brandon Smith had it going on in that game. So if you had both of those guys, what a Storm connection you've got. But, geez, so he's playing for a contract, and at this rate, like, there's got to be a fair few sites he'd walk into.
Yeah, Heath Ledger playing for a contract. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, he's had a long time, you know, sitting on the bench, and it must be hard for a guy like that who knows that, you know, a lot of other clubs would be falling over themselves to get him. So he's got his chance now. He's got his chance now to prove what he's got, you know, and it was always uncertain as to how many games he was going to get. So every time he takes the field, he really needs to show what he can do. And I think he's been doing that pretty well, as anyone who's owned him has seen, but also just in NRL as well. I think the way he handles the ball and the way he kind of floats, he just has that, that little acceleration, explosion that helps him to get on the outside of players quite easily. He doesn't even look like he's breaking a canter, but he kind of skips to the outside and he knows when to throw that pass. So, anyone who's been had him in their side the last couple of weeks, for me, he was quite an easy VC, I thought, with the matchup. But knowing the captains as well, like, I think a lot of people would have been on VC Nathan Cleary and the C for Turbo as well. So it kind of left a lot of people in a tricky situation. But, I can see why he's the rocker. He's got the do as well.
He definitely does have the look. 24 years old too, so it's not like he's a spring chicken in that sort of sense either. So, as you said, very important year coming up for him. And who knows, he could be at the side he towed up this week just next year. So long season ahead for him, but, geez, he's looking good stepping into that Pappenhausen boots there. The flopper of the week. It's a funny one because Captain Man himself, Semi Sonic Lakey, he called him out. He said to you and I during the week, like, you just can't go against Tommy Turbo on a sunny Sunday afternoon against the hapless Knights. And what do we get? 34 points and a Knights win. Who saw that coming?
Mate, it was all the logical reasons to do things, and that's what you try to base your decisions on, like what makes the most sense. It was all the stars were aligning, and it was the same for Cleary as well. I mean, they were playing against the Bulldogs, who were $21 to win. And, you know, and the Bulldogs turned up, you know, and they actually defended pretty well, and they made them work for their tries. They really made them work for their tries in the first half, at least. And Newcastle did the same. You know, there was no Kalen Ponga. And so I think a lot of people thought, well, you know, this could be a really big day out for Tommy T. But I don't know whether you saw the game, but I saw the first half before I was had to go and attend to something my son was doing that he shouldn't have been doing. But he was running a lot of decoys, I noticed, and there was a lot of kind of attention on him, obviously for obvious reasons. But he was running off his brother's shoulder quite a lot, and they would throw it out the back. So that was the reason I think he probably wasn't the recipient of a lot of attacking stats in that first half. And then And then, yeah, he kind of increased his workload perhaps a little bit in the second half. But, yeah, the Knights just too good in the end.
Yeah, it's a pretty rare one for him. Only 12 runs all game. And I think it was just a real weird possession game. A lot of sin binnings, just stop start. So I think Tommy Turbo didn't have a lot of momentum in that one. He did throw a late line break assist for Garrick, I think it was, down the edge. I mean, that sort of bumped him up a little bit. But without that, I mean, he just, yeah, it was a quiet old day and a rare miss. So I'm not really sure what was going on there. I did see the Knights tackled him pretty well. So, I mean, you've got a target. He's got a target on his back. Normally he defies it. But for whatever reason, somehow the Knights stuck strong. Shocker of the week. Really don't know what to make of this one. Corey Norman, 107 points, not even getting a try. Going through the scores this afternoon, I saw that, and I don't know what to make of it. Dragons got pumped, but yet Corey Norman tunned up. Again, who sees this stuff coming?
Yeah, he just seemed involved in a lot of the plays. A lot of it wasn't in scoring plays as well. So he had the two try assists as well, but, you know, there were 26 tackles, which is, you know, he was working quite hard in the middle. And then there were some line break assists as well. So, you know, I actually did notice a couple of the touches that he had in there, but it was quite an open game, I remember this one. It was quite end-to-end, and they were throwing the ball around a little bit. Hunt had a really good game. But, yeah, I mean, the Tigers just too good in the end. But he did have a lot of fairly good touches, and he has those games from time to time, old Normie. But, yeah, he's quite hard to rely upon in year 17. But just every now and again, you get a game like that.
I think he's been a never again for a lot of super coaches since probably 2016, 2015, 2010. Who knows? It's been a long time coming. That's the sound reserved for the trade fail of the weekend. For me, I haven't even bothered going much further because I did it myself. Viliama Kikau called him out during the week. I said, can't go this badly the whole season, right? And he goes out and gets 32. So I think without even going any further, I know there's usually weird trades, people trading out Nathan Cleary and all that sort of stuff, but I'm going to give it to myself this time around, Lakey. Anton, going to give me the trade fail of the week. You've obviously excelled in that this time around, but for me, I called him out as being an option, and look what he did. Thank you very much, Billy Kickout. He owes me about 200 points next week. Get into a bit of the injury and suspension news. Suspensions, a big talked about one here. There's so many sin binnings and high shots and everything. It's just hard in mouth stuff for any of you Supercoach players. Highlighted a couple here. There's quite an extensive list, but a couple of the notables. Your boy, Reece Walsh, 1 to 2 weeks. Not ideal for anyone hoping for some fullback coverage with the likes of Turbo and Tedesco out, but it was a pretty decent elbow.
Yeah, he got him pretty flush. I was, you know, obviously watching the game, I did the old, oh, what was that for? And then when they showed the slow motion, it's one of those ones where you sit down in your seat sort of thing and you kind of go, I hope no one saw me stand up just then. That was pretty bad. So, yeah, he's a naughty boy. I think he got roughed up a little bit and he didn't really like it too much. He's going to have to learn to roll with that kind of forearm to the face a bit smoother in the future. But, yeah, he lost his rag there and he gave it to him, so... Probably fair enough. Lucky we've got that, you know, that other fullback floating around, RTS, who can fill in a little bit at fullback if needs be. So that's
specialist good. Winger.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Luciano Leilua, another one, 1 to 2 weeks. He was a possible buy this week given the round 13 coverage, but that's a bit of a stinger for owners, unfortunately.
And today, too, David. Luciano.
He did, 75 points. I was quite surprised to see. He's been doing okay out there in the second row. Obviously not as much talked about this year, given he's not that early season cheapy sort of buy. But Luciano was firming for a decent shout in round 13. Not going to happen by the looks. And the other one on the list here, David Clemmer from today, very late in the game, but put a shot on Ben Trbojevic in his 2 seconds on the field. Shoulder to the head, he could be out for a week or so. So if you've got him as buy coverage. That's a bit of a tough one to swallow as well. A couple other smatterings of suspensions, but nothing overly notable. In the injury front, though, geez, today was a bit of a shocker. You had scratchings during the weekend. This probably actually cost people most, particularly those that might have looped. But Josh Schuster and Kurt Mann from today's game were both scratched. Schuster looking at 1 to 3 weeks, so a bit of a tough one again. If you've got him, that would have broken a lot of people because he was this, you know, the last game of the round. So I don't know if you still own Schuster, but yeah, real rough if you try to play him at your 5'8".
Yeah, I've actually never had Schuster, so he was one that got away, and I just couldn't get him in. I had other problems in my side, and I had Munster at 5'8" and Watson, who I couldn't move up to hooker because Simpkins was there. So I kind of missed the boat on Schuster, but then yeah, I was kind of smiling to myself when he pulled out because my brother had him, so that was all good for me. It was good. Some notable injuries there. It's actually quite interesting that you know, Mann missed the game as well for the Knights, and you know, they had quite a few out, so you know, they did pretty well to contain Manly.
Based on having a look at some of the comments when Mann was ruled out, I don't think it was overly looked down upon by some Knights fans that he wasn't going to be there. But, I mean, good news anyway for Connor Watson is that he got out there for the full 80 and killed it. So, Kurt Mann, if he, you know, hopefully, not for him, but for Supercoach anyway, if we've been selfish, 3 weeks would be great value for the likes of Barnett and Watson. A couple of other ones from today as well. Tyson Frizzell, he looked set for an Origin stint, and maybe this ankle sprain late in the game has ruled him out. Possibly 2 to 3 weeks, according to our mate, NRL physio. AJ Brimson, another Origin candidate, bone bruising 1 to 2 weeks, in a bit of pain coming off the field for 10 points today. So tough one for him. Sam Walker, shoulder issue he's been carrying, I believe, for the last few weeks. He got a spell. With the bye this week, it sort of was a bit of a no-brainer. But Sam Walker, he's on the decline in terms of value, so possibly a good trade-out a week ago or this week even. And then the other one I've got down the notable, Lachie Fitz. Again, it's selfish reasons, but he copped a very bad shot. I don't know if you were attending to your two-year-old, but went to tackle Kepi, I think it was, copped a knee to the head and looked very, very bad. So could be a week on the sidelines for Lachie Fitz. I've had a quick look around the wash-up. Physio is your best friend for this kind of stuff. But I guess for anyone who's favorite Supercoach player or round 13 by whatever was not read out in those two lists there, I think you can breathe a sigh of relief. And then we finally got into round 13, right?
Yeah, it's always a nervous wait when you've done all this bye planning and you got your team there, and with these new rule changes, it's like running the gauntlet every week with like, right, who's going to be on the bench, who's going to get suspended, who's going to get injured. But thankfully, I kind of got through this one pretty good, and quite happy about that. So hopefully, there's a few people listening to this that have are in the same position. But there's a few notable names there, so surely a few people might be caught a bit short.
Certainly will. All right, Anton, let's take a quick little break and then we'll come back and do the 8 game by games.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alrighty, back to run through the 8 games that were over round 12. And let's start at the top. Storm getting the job done over the Broncos 40-12. As we said at the top, Rocker of the Week, Nico Hines. I don't think we need to say much more. It seems to be the fullback spot for the Storm. It's just an absolute you shit Supercoach points when you're there. B-Smith, though, I don't know if obviously as a new owner, you would have just had head in hands when you saw him getting taken off the field for, I thought, a night ender. He was yeah, not looking too flash, but he did get back out there. I assume the nerves were high.
Yeah, he got knocked off balance a little bit, and I kind of, when you saw the vision, he kind of wobbled a little bit sort of thing, but it didn't look like the starry-eyed kind of wobble that you sometimes see from people. And then, you know, once he got through that, he kind of looked okay, but maybe it was me just willing it to be fine, you know, kind of going, he's fine, he's fine. And he'll wipe that off. He's such a tough bugger, this guy, blah, blah. But I did breathe a sigh of relief when he came onto the sideline holding that little card. I was like, oh, thank God. But yeah, so he played really well, I thought. And, you know, he's just really nuggety. He's involved in everything. And if you kind of show him half a gap, he's just going to try and take it. So, yeah, that was one of those games where if there's some loose ruck defense, you know, he'll expose them for sure. And the Broncos were on the receiving end a little bit there. Hughes is another one of those guys where you just thought, you know, he could be in for a really big night here as well. But It was often out the back or through the ruck where a lot of the attack happened. He iced a couple of nice little plays, but for the most part he was quite quiet. He didn't really have to involve himself as much. So yeah,
bit frustrating that one. I was a new owner of Jerome Hughes this week, so I decided to go him. I thought 700K, a bit of a big price to pay, but I thought a Broncos matchup at Suncourt, where they historically go very large, would be set up. And then, you know, in typical I've just traded this guy in fashion, Nico Hines makes a break and decides to cut him out, and I think basically throws a forward pass that didn't get called to go to Cooper Johns. And I'm going, so Hughes is right there. What are you doing, son?
Yeah, it's almost like he knew he was in my brother's Supercoach team, so I was out of my seat. I was happy days. He's like, no, not you, you.
This rivalry between you and your bro, it's unreal, but I can see a lot of Christmas time might be a fun one.
It'll be opposite ends of the table, opposite ends.
Love it. But yeah, he got the 1TC to his name, Jerome Hughes, so he did struggle to get involved a little bit. I thought he could have put a few players over the line, but they were just held up and that sort of thing. So still a decent score for someone who, was a little quiet on the night. Other one of note, obviously Pangai Jr., thankfully not named in Origin. There was some talk there, but I think Fittler's gone the other way. But 64 points in 80 minutes, doing a job. I think he'll do a good job in round 13 as well. So not doing anything dumb. And if I thought there's a player that's going to get tripped up by these new, this new crackdown that seems to be a bit off and on so far in round 12, he would be the guy. But I think so far, I don't think he's been binned.
No, he's been a very good boy, actually. And I don't know whether that's a conscious effort or just plain luck. But, you know, he's I think, you know, a lot of people who have him in their side will be breathing a bit of a sigh of relief that he didn't get named in Origin. I think he might have actually burnt a bridge with Freddie in the past, just some of the comments he's made or some of the things that he's done. I don't think he's the type of player that he wants in his side for whatever reason, which is great news for us, but not so great for him. But I'll be looking at bringing him in next week. He's one of my targets for sure. And that front row is such a hard position this year.
Yep. No, exactly. And he's definitely doing a serviceable enough job and fine. And he's much cheaper than, you know, an Isaiah Papali'i and those other sort of guys in and around that spot. Yep. Other one of note, Keenan Palacia. He played his second game, 70 minutes for 39 points. Obviously had, a try the week before with an 80. So going to have a pretty decent negative break even heading into this week. We'll play round 13 as well. So starting a possible buy, a downgrade if you need to find some cash, but doing a decent job out there. Anything else in this game for you, Anton?
Well, the 47 from Anthony Milford was a bit of an eyebrow raiser. I can see a few people leaning forward in their seats looking at that figure and going, I would love a 47 next week, let me tell you.
But you can just hear that trade-in button getting smashed come just tomorrow, Arvo, from Wilfred. Wilfred Z.
Just come that on, finger son, do just it. Wobbling over the trade button. But don't do it, folks. Do not do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself.
Well, hopefully he played pretty ordinarily, despite the 47, but you'd hope Tyson Gamble comes straight back in. That was the one risk, that Milford might actually have a decent game, but I don't think there was much chop in that game. So hopefully Tyson Gamble slots straight back in. But yeah, well done, Milford. Probably won't spend too much time on this one for your sake, mate, but Cowboys 29, flogging the Warriors 28, a huge win. Big Val, second ton of the year, second ton in a row, actually. 100 points for him, couple of try assists and the winning field goal. Surprisingly, it could be almost 700K. So he's kept his price relatively stable so far this year, but hasn't, just because he hasn't had a couple of big games like this, but over the last couple of weeks, just putting try assists on for fun, line break assists. Obviously, we'll go to Origin, so, you know, might get a rest or so in and around that. But for now, available at centre wing, doing a job.
Yeah, Valor's looking like one of those really just reliable players in your centre wing. There's not a lot of risk there, even you know, if the Cowboys are up against a stiff opposition. He seems to be involved in just about all of their really good sweeping attack moves. I was really impressed also with Jake Clifford in this one. I thought he played really well in that game. And then the other guy of note as well, I don't know if he's really an option for Supercoach at the moment, but the way the Warriors side's configured, Ewan Aitken just seems to be such a beneficiary of RTS playing outside him. RTS often comes inside looking for work, and that moves Aitken to the wing, so that he was the recipient of a couple of really good balls in the weekend. So he's just one I'm sort of keeping my own eye on a little bit. He has been relevant in the past. I'm probably not going to go there for at least a couple of weeks, but yeah, it's just someone I'm looking at as well. And also Cody Nikorima as well. He's just that option in your halves there at your backup half that, you know, has flown below the radar quite a lot, but he's kicking goals and he's dual position as well. So in that round 17, he's someone that I actually started the season with him, and he did really well for me, scored a couple of tons while I had him in the beginning of the season. And then I got greedy and sold him, and he's, you know, he's just kind of hovering around that, you know, kind of 60 plus mark a lot of the time without sort of doing a lot. But yeah, I could see him being an option moving forward.
Relatively rare for him to be that consistent. So normally Nikorima goes through patches, and I think he did last year as well. He just has games where he goes ballistic and piques a bit of interest, and then people come out, buy him, and he would just go to shit. And I mean, that's
putting his hand up for a field goal this weekend.
No, you were just saying off air, like, there's really no field goal options in the Warriors side at the minute now that Sean Johnson's not there. So, geez, surely anyone will be better than CHT trying to pot one over from 10 metres.
Well, I keep saying pass it to Bunty, but Nathan Brown just won't give him the minutes. He won't give him the bloody minutes.
Oh. Doesn't understand. The fan club has a lot riding on that. Yeah. Mate, we want to see the emoji too. Stilesy, shout out.
That's right. That's right.
0.2% ownership of Ewan Aitken. Interesting pod you've raised there. I think had a grand total of 100 points from three games, but obviously with the try in this game here, and you know, I like that RTS involvement. I think the unfortunate timing for that is that Reece Walsh is out, you would think, if he takes the early guilty plea for this week. I wanted to ask you, because we raised this on the Tuesday pod this week, just whether or not Reece Walsh is a candidate for that fullback spot in Supercoach, given all the guns that are going to be missing throughout Origin. But would you have been looking at him post round 13 to bring into your side?
Well, I think he's a cracking option for draft. I don't think he's – it's just so hard. There's so many good players in that position. You know, you're kind of looking at losing a Pappenhausen or a Tommy Turbo or something like that. But I think if one of those guys goes down, you know, he is an option, yeah, for sure, because he's, you know, he's just he just seems to be involved in a lot of these really good attacking plays, and he comes up with things that, you know, we haven't had anybody in the team like that since Sean Johnson. And, you know, we're conceding 30 points a game, but we're scoring roughly 30 as well. So, you know, razzle dazzle.
Absolutely.
He's involved in a lot of it. So I can see why people would do it. Rob Sutherland was talking about it through the week, and I was trying to egg him on to do it. I was like, here's my boy. You got to do it, dog. You got to do it. But he didn't quite muster the courage, which is a shame, because it's always fun to let other people take risks and you watch rather than you doing it yourself.
I mean, 83 actually would have had him up the top end, so he pipped Teddy pre-updates, and he obviously pipped Turbo. So I mean, geez, if you had backed him in, then you've actually gone better a week early. So yeah it would have been a huge pun, and he's skyrocketing in value. I think he's made 200 plus K in cash, and obviously going to go up this week as well. But Reece Walsh, settle in, and the Parole Broncos, I don't know what you've done, but Warriors will be thanking you every day of the week. Tohu, 58 points. What happened here?
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of attacking stats. Well, he didn't have any attacking stats at all. 58 was all all through base, I believe. He had a tackle break and that was it. So, yeah, I think, you know, he just had a quiet game by his standards. There were the ball was thrown quite wide quite early, even from that first set. I noticed we were looking to shift the ball quite wide early. So, you know, that seemed to be a plan, and we were kind of running it along that left-hand channel quite a lot. And when it didn't work, we thought, well, we'll keep doing it again and again. Surely something will happen, but it didn't. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what happens there. But, you know, every player in the second row, all those reliable positions, has a week like that. And I think this is just a bit of an anomaly for him. This is his lowest score of the year. So I wouldn't be too worried if I was an owner. And if I was looking to buy, I certainly wouldn't look at that as a reason not to buy.
Yeah, it just shows how good a year he's having, both in the NRL and Supercoach, that we're talking about 58 from the second row as being a bit of a down one. So worst score of the year, but yeah, still playing 80, still doing great things. Hylam Luki, another newcomer to the Cowboys. He's played his second game, 42 points, nearly 50 minutes. So very impressive in his time out there. Big body, loves an offload, bust. He just looks the goods, and I think he's won his spot, particularly that chase on Reece Walsh. I think that's the kind of stuff that coaches just love seeing, particularly out of young players. So inspirational, didn't quite get him just on the line there. But Hylam Luki, I think a name that we're going to be talking about for a long time to come. Interesting possible round 14 downgrade if you do need to move a player on. We'll play 17 as well. Anything you want to talk about in this game before you erase it from the memory bank?
No, I've moved on. Me and my counsellor have our own ways of sorting through these things. So that's fine. We'll leave this for the couch, I reckon.
Is that counsellor Jack Daniels or yeah. Jim Beam?
That's Big Jimmy. Right. Yeah, they're all
PhD. PhD. Tigers off to a hot start against the Dragons, got the job done, 34-18. Big start for Dane Laurie, 117 points, a try, two assists. Got a couple of held up in goal points as well, 3 points for each for those. So had a very good day out. Always one that people have their eye on trading out because he can have a bit of a down week, I think, as he did the week before. But he's definitely got these games in him. He's gone from strength to strength, being pushed into that fullback spot at the Tigers. So I think going forward, I don't know about season-long keeper, but a definite value play for next week if you've still held on to him and possibly longer term. I'm not sure how you've read his season so far, but do you see him as being a guy you could potentially keep around for the whole year?
Maybe. I think, yeah, his value suggests that, you know, like once you get him through the buy round, it'd be, you know, even like a downgrade to a really capable round 17 player would be on the cards. But, you know, if it sort of comes down to the draw, if you like the look of the draw and you think he's going to get, you know, sort of keep on scoring, then I think it's very hard to lose him from your side. You know, it's almost like there's no second rowers you can put in your center wing really this year, except for Jack Bird and maybe Tyrone Peachy. But, you know, so for the most part, you are going to get a little bit of rocks and diamonds here and there. And he seems to be pretty good. His floor is kind of around 30 odd or, you know, early 30s. So, you know, I would take that from certainly some of my players, but, you know, he has cracked the ton a couple of times now. So it is, I don't know. I'm happy to hold for now. I have much bigger issues in my side. The one that I noticed was James Roberts though, because he moved to the wing for this game, I believe.
He did.
Yeah.
Two tries out there.
Yeah. And I just thought, you know, for him the way he is now, just simplifying his role and using his speed, it does make a lot of sense. And you know, they are, you know, able to get the benefit of his speed if they just have him on the outside there. So I actually liked that, and I liked what I saw. So yeah, 82 points from him, and he's so cheap. He's around the 220 mark. That's so cheap. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've held him for the whole year. It's been a painful one because he's just scored terribly, but maybe now this is just a godsend. He's finally got a run just in time for round 13 and got a couple of handy centres in and around as well. So might get a lot of good ball out his way. Tommy Talau now playing at centre, got 96, and Adam Dewey, who's just found a home in this Tiger spot, and now at centre. He was killing it at 5'8". We all thought it was a bit of a head-scratch to move Dewey to the centre spot, but he's killing it, 83 here, and getting very heavily involved. His price is just insane.
He's also kicking goals too. And, you know, I mean, the Tigers, when they rack up 34 points, you know, he's quite a good goal kicker. So, you know, he had up to 20 points just for that in the weekend. And, you know, he had a line break, he had a try assist. You know, he's just involved in quite a lot. And I don't know, I think this is the year that we've really seen him really step up into that really mature playmaking role. I know he's in the centres, but he's involved in so many of the good things that they do. So I think anyone who's got him is laughing, and you wouldn't be moving him. So I would love to have him, but I don't think I'm going to have him for next week.
No, just too high a price. So well done to anyone that already got on. A couple of other ones here. Sean Bloor, 23 points, just not kicking on. His second game, I believe. So he's a cheapie. Maybe a lot of people jumped on from round one thinking he'll time his run pretty well heading into round 13. And he may just do that. I mean, obviously with Luciano being out, maybe there's a chance that he could go into the starting side. Good news as well for Stefano Utoikamanu. I didn't want to say it. How would you rate that pronunciation, just quietly?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Thank you very much. I'll take that. But yeah, so hopefully good news for him. Getting a spot in that 13 side would be fantastic. Mm. And just finally on the Dragons, I mean, outside of Corey Norman, 107 at the top, is there anyone really that we'd be looking at despite them playing round 13 next week? I had Cody Ramsey as my a target of sorts, but he's gone and put a 22 with an HIA and now a 30. So, yeah, big risk.
Not interested in a little bit of Gerard Beale?
Yes. Gerard Beale. Oh, yeah. I did see that name. 60 points.
Yeah, the old, I've retired. Oh, not so fast. Coming back, playing a couple for the Dragons. Yeah, no, he came back. He actually looked pretty good out there, I thought. But, yeah, no, there's no one that really that interests me from the Dragons, unfortunately. And it's, you know, they've got a couple of suspensions at the moment, and it's just lack of go forward, I think, and that strength on the edge. So they are going to struggle to contain sides, I think. And when they play the really good sides, you know, there's going to be a lot of standing around under their own goalposts. So, no, there's no one there that really interests me.
Somewhat of a surprising scoreline here. Penrith 30 getting over the Dogs 4. It took a long time for them to click into gear, but obviously in the back end of the game, they pulled away. But for a long time, until Dallin Watene-Zalesniak threw a terrible offload into Spencer Lenny's welcoming arms, they were still in this game at 4-0. So, yeah, tough loss for the Bulldogs. But Penrith, the juggernaut continues. Cleary, 80 points. I don't know if you watched the game, but there was a bit of talk that one of the try assists he was given was a bit contentious, possibly could go elsewhere on updates. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I think there was, well, at least one of the try assists was slightly iffy. It's one of those sorts of things you see people debating it over Twitter and stuff, but at the end of the day, there is a subjective call that's made by you know, Fox Sports stats. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps it because he's Nathan Cleary. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if he loses it because I have seen players not awarded for the exact same plays. So if, you know, I actually found the scoring updates really shocking this weekend. Like, that, you know, we're still waiting for a lot of updates from the Friday game. So really the Melbourne game is the only one that I think is updated. That I've noticed, but so it's kind of hard to know exactly what you're getting with Nathan Cleary, and I think a lot of people that were looking to loop or whatever because the game hadn't updated, you just can't be confident. So he could go down as low as early 60s.
Yeah, which would be a dagger for any captain. As if you didn't end up looping the likes of Nico Hines, you went with a Cleary captaincy. So, yeah, very surprisingly low score. I thought he would have run away with this one. But lo and behold, the guy that did run away, Charlie Staines, old Stainesy himself, 2 tries, 92 points. So bounced back from a 12, classic Staines. Did you play him?
Well, I sold him. So
there you go.
Yeah, no, I couldn't wait to get him out of my side. He was one of those guys who you were just – him and Simonson and Saab and Fusatua, they're all those kind of guys at the start of the season. You know, you just couldn't help it because of the price. You're just like, let's go, let's go. And they just would not score tries. It seemed to take so long. And you had to make your decisions. Which one were you going to cut? So Fusatua went first, yep. And then I couldn't wait to get rid of Staines and his 17 points he was giving me each week. So ever since then, he looks like he's actually playing pretty well, and they're going to that side a lot more often. So So go figure, and congratulations to anyone that held, because he's going to be quite a valuable extra player for you this week.
We thank you for your service, Anton. Much appreciated. Brian Toe, on the other side, obviously much more highly owned. I don't actually own him. I've been a running joke all year, but I don't own Brian Toe. Not scoring tries, really, in a lot of games. 56 points in just the four busts. So relatively well contained. Usually gets a bit of handy upgrades, and obviously now finds himself in the Origin side. So those owners might have been hoping to get an extra number, but given majority of the serious players in the game have Brian Toe, as you said, it's much of a muchness. Other Penrith players that did okay, JFH, 69, Lel in 58 minutes, mostly based from him, and Matty Burton, your new trade-in, try and a length of the field try assist. The Dogs have got a pretty good one on their hands here, haven't they?
Yeah, I think if you're Trent Barrett, I think, when he was watching him, I think there's a small part of him that would have been, quite enjoying watching that, knowing that he's coming next year. So, yeah, they have signed a good one. And I think also the Panthers know it too. It's one of those things where, you've got someone, but you don't want to wreck what you've spent years trying to build in the halves. So, but even at centre, I think he offers just so much. Just an extra kick option. He's quite a big body as well. You think he's not, because he's a half, but he's almost that kind of Schuster sort of size where he could almost play second row if you put him there. The other guy that caught my eye was Fisher Harris. So he's someone that a lot of people are looking at for that for next week. He's also dual position, and as I was saying before, front row's really hard to get right this year. And the way he's going, he's got a fairly healthy season average of 66.5. So I think in the front row, I mean, you take that every day of the week, and he looked quite likely a couple of times too to score a try. So yeah.
He's not a bad show. He has scored a couple of tries this year, and I think put someone over as well for one. So he has an attacking stat in his game. But I think any owners of him, and I've been an owner since round one, you just got to get used to sometimes he goes a little down. He scores a 50 or so just because he doesn't get the minutes. But when he's on, he's on. And I think a daytime game like this absolutely suited him. So hopefully a couple of offload upgrades for him. Some of the guys that didn't go so well here, and this is I think called him out, your brother owns this guy as well, Jerome Luai, 17 points, shedding a ton of cash. Obviously done enough to get a Blues jersey. Again, a bit of a stinger for owners leading into next week, hoping he might not get there, but he will play Origin. But for now, it's been the Cleary show, and Luai's sort of been a bit part player.
Mm. Fittler mustn't have Luai on his super coach team, but that's all I can say.
Super coach does not have much super coach interest.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, Jerome Luai, I don't know what's going on there. I think he's sort of shoveling the ball on a bit more, not running too much. Obviously, Cleary's done all the work the last couple of weeks, but even in this one, something's not really clicking there. Similarly, Billy Kickow looks great in a couple of his runs and then just doesn't do much of them. Isn't scoring tries, isn't offloading, isn't busting. My whole reasoning for buying him this week was that he was due. That science that someone who hasn't scored well for a while is just due.
Yeah, I think there are guys like Viliami Kikau and Elias Okotoa, I think are players that I don't know whether the new speed of the game suits them as much. They're such big bodies, and they're really strong sort of carriers on the ball, but it's often quite hard to get them into as many runs as you need them to get that work up. So I don't know. I worry about the bigger, less mobile forwards on the edges there, whether they're going to be able to keep up with the game and, able to play the sorts of minutes that they're required to get their numbers up. They really require those extra tries that, you bring them in for. So I'm kind of steering away from those larger bodies on the edges for that reason.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly the game has sort of turned since the start of the season. Now, a lot of the littler men, more mobile forwards, as you said, coming into the game, and maybe Kickow's a thing of the past, hopefully, just scores a meeting next week. But did lose 10 minutes or so here for an HIA, did come back as the halftime siren went. But I think he's lost 8 points in errors. It was just a bad game for him. And for the Bulldogs, obviously not much Supercoach relevance here, but Josh Jackson, he finally returned. Didn't have too much of an impact on Luke Thompson's minutes. He still pushed out 60 and I think got as many points. Maybe that we were inflated with Brad Dietz going off with about 10 minutes or so. So they didn't have a hooker on the bench, I don't think. So Ford's pushing out a few more minutes than they would normally do. But outside of Luke Thompson, there's not a lot to love in this dog side for Supercoach, is there?
No, I'd agree with that. Yeah, it's
barren.
It's not a side you get excited about. I don't think Josh Jackson. I always, when I see his name, I see him on the field, I always forget that he's still playing. I always just think that he's retired, but he hasn't. He's still there.
One of those guys in every rep side for a long, long time, and I think it's been a few years between drinks for him. So, yeah. Still there.
That's really insulting for me to say that. I understand, but it's I always get a surprise. I'm like, there he is. He's there.
Oh, poor old Josh Jackson. Rabbitohs 38, defeating the Eels 20. Again, another high-scoring game. A lot of winning sides putting on decent scores here. Origin Gagai. Someone put the setting on Gagai's back from normal NRL player to Origin player a week early. 163, three tries and an assist. Also feeding outside man Alex Johnson, who got 146 courtesy of his own three tries. So Origin Gagai. I know a few people had their eye on him. I think Wilfred had him at one point earlier this year. Gagai has always been a bit rocks and diamonds in this caper, but for Queensland anyway, I did like what I saw.
Yeah, I didn't actually see this game, but I had a feeling something like this was coming for the Eels. I didn't think the Rabbitohs were quite up to strength the week before Latrell's first game back, just getting into the hang of things. But I knew... I just had a feeling about this one that the Rabbitohs were going to turn up, and I didn't quite expect it to be this convincing. They played well, didn't they? Because also Murray was back, and I think he added quite a lot, you know, for Damien Cook in the middle there. I think those two guys play off each other really well. And the Eels tried hard, but they just couldn't get it going in the scorers department. So I'm a Paulo owner, so I've been struggling with his kind of low 40s for the last few weeks, and I'm pretty sick of that one. I got to say he's not quite living up to the Origin standard in Supercoach terms, that's for sure. And a lot of Matt Madison owners would have been pretty uninspired with that 40 as well.
Yeah, a couple of sin binnings for Maddo was one, and then Isaiah Papali, he was also off the field for 10, so that definitely ate into their points. And thankfully for Papali, he got a try, so a nice 17-point boost for him. But what's the go with him this year? I mean, I watched him at the Warriors, and he was serviceable enough, and in Supercoach he did okay and all that. He's gone to the Eels, and is he a different person? Like, who got off the plane?
Yeah, it's funny, eh? Because the first year that he played for the Warriors was a bit of, everyone was like, "Whoa, look at this kid!" You know, and what was cool about him was his agility. He wasn't a really massive second rower. His mum was actually a New Zealand League player as well, and she played for the Kiwi Ferns when he played his first match for the Kiwis. They were actually representing New Zealand at the same time. Which
that
was
a cool story.
Pretty crazy, hey.
Oh,
so anyway, so we thought, hey, we've got something special here. But it was that foot movement at the line and his low body position that made him really awkward to tackle. And he just had these really good ball skills and offloading ability. But I think it was a couple of years ago where Steve Kearney just decided he was going to play him as a middle. He didn't want him on the edge anymore, and he bulked him up over the off season, and he had him run out as the captain of the Nines team, and flew to Perth, and he got off the plane. I just remember seeing him run out. It was the year where they left all the jerseys in Auckland, and they had to run out wearing like the women's jerseys or something.
Yep.
And he came out, and I was just like, "Who's that?" He looked so much. I was like, "Has ice eaten a sheep or something?" He's huge. And he was slow. He looked like he didn't know what his position was. He just looked a bit lost, to be honest. And he was playing off the bench, and it was a new position for him. And I just think he kind of lost the love a little bit, and he didn't feel like he had the confidence of the coach. And since coming to Power, I think they've just thrown that wind in his sails and said, mate, you are the Iceman. You need to show us what you can do. And he's played edge, he's played middle, and, you know, I'm just really happy for him. He looks like he's playing his best footy. Yeah, he looks great.
Absolutely, one of Parra's best. On the night, Supercoach anyway, he was just off. High scorer for Parra was 54 for Reid Marnie. Obviously, pre-updates probably sitting on 52 close by. But, yeah, not a lot of big scores for them. Gutho, a man I guess you're death riding, he got 54 with a try. Very lucky early try, got a bounce out of the heavens into his very welcoming arms, got the ball down just. But, yeah, really it was the Rabbitoh show here. Cody Walker, a couple of try assists. Could have had a few more if the scorers were kind. A couple did go to Luttrell for the little bat-ons that he does. So Luttrell, 77, bounced back again from a lot of these bunnies. So good on Luttrell. And you did mention a name, Damien Cook, earlier. So he challenged during the week by the media for probably the first time in his career. It's obviously not a thing that he's used to. But, yeah, people calling him out for his lack of runs. Started the game with the first try. I was actually at a pub with a mate and, yeah, we had a bad little investment session in those little flashing lights, the pensioners' PlayStation room. And we stepped out and we just said, you know, let's try and win it back on this first try score. Who do you reckon? And he goes, Damien Cook. And I said, no, he's just not running it. I'll put him down any time try scorer. So lo and behold, there you go. Damien Cook, first try scorer. That's why I'm not a millionaire. But, good on him. Good to see for the Blues anyway. They'll definitely want to fire it up. Damien Cook, 103 points in this one. Anything else from this game for you, mate?
No, not so much. Walker fans will be, fairly happy that he's not on the Origin side. I know they don't play this round, but, I mean, it's nice to know that he might be an extra number for them moving forward. But yeah, there's just so much attack in that Rabbitoh side, eh?
I just can't get over them. They've now had two 50-point games. It's a bizarre season. And yeah, a team like the Rabbitohs in the top four getting points like that put on them, it's just a who knows. But yeah, they've got the cattle to definitely go deep in this competition. Roosters, 44, getting the job done over the Raiders, 16. Roosters definitely bouncing back from a shock loss last week. Almost had to do it without Teddy. He went off the field briefly for a hip pointer concern. Obviously had people just deleting team left, right and centre. And then he came back out, broke the line a couple of times, set up a try, just did usual Teddy stuff to get him to nearly 80. So a welcome relief and good to see for Teddy that it's just a bit of soreness he's pulled up with, so nothing too serious. Your boy Tupanua, though, he 86 points, top scored in this game here. It seems to be just he needs to get across the line and he'll go large. Outside of that, he could have a very low floor, but Tupanua, he's definitely reaping the benefit of some pretty quality play out there.
Yeah, he's one of those really big, rangy forwards that he's just got a lot of athletic skill and he puts himself in the right position a lot. So, yeah, he does rely on a bit of attack, but, you know, he just looks likely that he's going to break through it against a lot of opponents. So, you know, I'm happy to have him in the side. Of course, there's the return of Boyd Cordner in round 14 that a lot of people are talking about, but in current form, you know, he's playing really well. So I think they're going to have to find a spot for him in the side somewhere. The troops are getting pretty low on the bench, I suppose, but I'm really happy with what I'm seeing from him. And then the other guy was in that game that I really thought was amazing was Joey Manu. He had a huge game.
Miracle try, though. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah. Juggled it just over the ground, got it over the line. It's just such an interesting cat for Supercoach because he just never is consistent. He has a big game every now and again and catches the eye and then just – for whatever reason, Joey Manu just seems to be the forgotten man a lot of time in that lineup. But this game, he was quite handy.
I think when he's playing centre, he's not an option. And that's annoying because that's his best position. But when he's put anywhere else, suddenly, you know, and if you have him in your draft or whatever, that's a really good time to pick him up as if he gets moved to fullback or he gets to 5'8" or something like that because he's just got really great hands and he's just capable of things that other players aren't. So, yeah, I was interested to see how he went for sure.
For the Raiders, really of note here, not a lot. Josh Hodgson coming back and scoring a try and setting one up, I think, nearly pushed 100, but good to see for him. But how do we know? I can't say it like you can, but 82 points for CHN. Very solid return, as you mentioned at the top of the pod. I think he's just doing a job, 400-odd K. Liking definitely what I'm seeing out of him. So I think you and I, our 5% ownership for this guy, that'll skyrocket over the coming weeks, particularly leading up to round 17. Joseph Suwali, he scored his first try and set another up. So the kid looks every bit the gun that we've heard all about for the last couple of years. Ran the ball 14 times. So good signs for him. I think that's could often be a risk. A young player like him coming into grade, 17 years old, does he want to get the ball in his hands? And it's clear that he does. So it looks like they've gotten onto a pretty good one here.
Yeah, he looked like he was doing the right things with the ball. Is quite rangy and athletic, so it's just whether he keeps his spot, you know, when they're at full strength. So he's obviously on the bubble now. He's played his second game and he'll have a low break even. So I think if you don't have him, a lot of people will be looking to bring him in.
Couple of flops here. Matta Kavalu, he was somewhat talked about over the last couple of weeks, stepping into BMOZ's pretty giant shoes on the wing, but flopping it again. 22 points, just not scoring tries. So hoping for Ikavalu's sake and his owners that he starts to find the line a little bit more, because he's definitely not doing the job. And Jordan Rapana, he returned, did very little, 15 points. Bit of a shocker from him. Anyone else?
No, that's all. Oh, Siosiwa Tokaaho is another guy as well that a lot of people have. 50 points, serviceable, but, you know, you're kind of hoping for a bit more in your front row. Yeah, I had him earlier in the year, but I just couldn't hold him. He seems to attract the odd niggling injury as well. But I think a lot of people would have had him this week.
Bit of a shock one here. Sharks 38 getting the job over the Titans 10. Didn't think they'd run away with it as they did, but the Titans were absolutely deplorable. Not sure what's going on with them. They are very rocks and much less diamonds in this 2021 season. Dave Fifita, he was back and didn't have the best start to the game. I think he was on about 25, 30 points. He got pulled from the field, sat on the bench for about 10 or 15, and then came back on and somehow got up to 91 points. So, no, you held on to him. Well done there. Some of the runs that he was putting on, they were like Andrew Fifita-like, just the crabbing runs. He just pushes players off and just gets, you know, 12, 16 points, whatever, for one run. So, thankfully for you guys, I guess you had that. But, you know, what did you make of this game here? I thought he wasn't at his best.
No, I mean, it was. I'm happy I'm not a Titans fan this weekend, because if they were my team, I just wouldn't know if I'd be able to get through that full game. It was a really lackluster performance from them. Their line speed was really, really slow. And when you've got Sean Johnson playing his 200th game and Matt Moylan, you know, they love retreating defensive lines and all that sort of thing. So they were just too quick for them on the edges and sort of cut them to pieces. But certainly Dave Fifita, yeah, he just loves it, eh? Like, I remember there was one whistle, they actually blew the whistle and he went through with the fend anyway, and the guy had stopped running and he hit him in the chest and sent him flying backwards. The guy looked up, like, he's blown the whistle. He went, oh yeah, sorry, yeah. But
yeah, I love it.
He just loves it. He loves a good old swat, eh?
Oh, it's just, you know, way better than Andrew Fifita ever was, and much less crabby, but still have a bit of that mold to him. And for Supercoach, it's exactly what you want to see, right? Who cares you make 2 meters? So,
yeah,
good on him. SJ, 68 points. You did mention him. He does love the retreating defensive line. Probably, I thought, put his best game for the year on in here, and firming definitely for round 14 post halves pickup. So dual position, I believe, and going to play that round 17 bye. So hopefully SJ is a bit of a confidence player. This might just give it to him. And maybe Matty Moylan looks to be his settled halves partner for now. So do you reckon, I mean, Will Kennedy at the back doing pretty good stuff. Maybe this is a spine where SJ can actually capitalize. Do you see him as an option for, I guess, obviously the bye week, but then maybe longer term? Is there a return to the SJ of old?
Yeah, I think I don't see why he couldn't return to be, you know, the player who was leading the comp for try assists last year before he did his injury. You know, he was playing very well then. He'll never be the same Sean Johnson that had that lightning acceleration like we saw in his career. But you know, certainly if the Sharks are putting on, you know, 30 plus points, he's going to be involved in a lot of that. The question is really who's, you know, whether, you know, there's three halves vying for two spots at the moment, and Chad Townsend's a good player, so you would think that maybe Moylan is the guy that misses out, but I thought Moylan played really well today as well. Mm. So yeah, I think he is a trade-in target. There, you know, I don't think he's got the same floor as a lot of other players, and he's kicking goals. So, you know, that's a big thing, I think, when you're looking at someone to bring in. And he's got the halfback 5'8 flexibility too, which a lot of people find handy.
Yeah, I think good news is for SJ potential owners is that Chad Townsend's out and SJ's now kicking goals. I think he kicked about 5 or 6 today, so had the boot in the radar going. Hopefully price stabilises, 109 break even, so we'll shed some cash and hopefully firm as in a buy-in. Jesse Ramien had his finally back and back with a bang, a try, 9 busts. He was very dangerous out there, 100-plus points for him. And then some of the Titans players who were relatively highly owned, Tino, stung by a binning in the first half, just held down too long. That was the start of the rot for the Titans. They did not get back into the game after that. But Tino, yeah, bit ordinary from him. But Brian Kelly, I've owned this guy for about a month and a half now. He scored the opening try. I was cheering and then proceeded to score, I think, 0 points in the second half, finished with 30. Yeah, parked on the wing. Brimson went off with about half an hour, I think, to go. But they just didn't want to pass it down his edge. Tanner Boyd, can you please pass the ball, champion?
He's been a very frustrating player for a lot of people this year, Brian Kelly. You know, such an attacking side. He was playing outside of Fifita, and I think a lot of people had him, you know, in for a career year this year, but it just doesn't seem to be falling his way, unfortunately. Mo Fotuaika is another guy I noticed in this game as well. I mean, he'll probably get the Origin call up, but I thought he's looking outstanding at the moment, like just an actual NRL. He's one of the few players in the Titans side, I think, that can really hold their head up each week. He's, you know, he's playing really good footy, and he got an 81 in the unupdated scores. So, you know, that's really promising for owners or for people who are looking to bring him in.
102 points last week as well against the Dogs. So he's backed it up 2 weeks in a row now. The unfortunate timing, he will go into camp, you'd imagine, for the Queensland side, who are in desperate need of some forwards, some healthy forwards. So Fotuaika, maybe a run-home sort of play there if he can come out of Origin unscathed. Any other final words on Sharks-Titans?
No, that's it, mate.
Last game of the round, another surprise result. 18 for the Knights go over the Manly side, 10. And obviously from the top of the pod, we mentioned that Tommy Turbo was our flopper of the week. I did not see that one coming. We talked about him just not getting the ball or being the link player, I suppose, the guy running the ball. But Knights defended pretty damn well on him. So congratulations to them. Not so for anyone that captained him. And for the Knights, a popular contingent that we've talked about since the start of the year, Connor Watson, 80 points. Mitch Barnett, 60. And a junk time try assist to Jaden Brayley. So thankfully for that, that got him to 51 points. But yeah, it was looking a little dicey. Are you an owner of all three?
I am an owner of all three. And it's I probably wouldn't have been if the Knights weren't playing round 13. I know when Lockie Fitzgibbon came back to the Knights, it's kind of really thrown Mitch Barnett's role and his scoring up in the air, and that's affected Watson as well because they're kind of sharing position. But Watson went to 5'8 today, so that's why I played the full 80 minutes. And I didn't get that note, and I played Jason Saab ahead of him. So lovely. I got that 80 staring at me from the pine. But when old Sabotage ran the length of the field, I was feeling pretty good about that. But, you know, he doesn't get a line break for that because it came from a kick. So, but yeah, 80 points for Connor Watson. Like his thing is always about whether he gets minutes or not. He's got a really super coach friendly game. He's just really nuggety, and he always keeps coming at the defensive line. So if he can you know hold on to those minutes next round, you know, that'll be gold. It'd be great to see him score well next week for those who held.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I thought he played much better than Kurt Manhas at 5'8", and you saw how heavily involved he was and set up that try for Sue at the end of the half. So I thought Watson was definitely ticking a lot of boxes. Maybe it's just his value as a utility player that holds him back. did for Tyron Peachy for a few years there. So it can just be sometimes you're too good in too many positions and doesn't bode well for Supercoach. Barnett, though, did get a little bit of a bonus at the end. I think it was Tex Hoy went off the field with concussion and Mitch Barnett came straight back on. Looked like he was getting his afternoon called a little bit early, but pushed his way to about 60 minutes, I think. So, I mean, good result, but a little lucky. Even got a goal kick when he came back on the field and straight under the post. So Mitch Barnett, I mean, he's very high on my trade-out list as soon as round 14 ends, and I just don't think this current night setup with Lockie Fitz there does much for him. I don't think I've seen anything that would lead me to hold Mitch Barnett any longer than I need to. So I assume for you, is he a round 14 punt?
Yeah, straight to Tohu Harris for me in round 14.
Love it. Great play. Bradman Best, the other one for the Knights, had a few owners. He went okay, 51 points, still not quite kicking on as he did last year, but hopefully a big round for him for 13 and anyone who's got onto him. And finally, what an AE nightmare this was. Benny Trbojevic, the third turbo. He finally got on the park with about 90 seconds to go. Proceeded to have a couple of hit-ups, a tackle, and then get heavily concussed by Dave Clemmer, of all people. So 5 points for him. Nightmare for anyone that owned and maybe had as an AE. But speaking of, I think Joe Fitz messaged chat earlier and said someone in one of his comps had Dane Laurie as their auto emergency. He had 117 points. So I think they'd looped Nico Hines. They had Ben Trbojevic. So if he didn't go on the field with 90 seconds to go, that was a 112-point turnaround. So how good Supercoach?
Oh, no. Yeah, well, he would have been my automatic emergency if I had looped Nico Hines too. So a crisis averted there. I was just hoping that they, all the three Trbojevic brothers would have thrown the ball to each other in fast succession just to see what the commentators would do.
Oh, mate, the turbo to turbo to turbo play. Yeah. They even had a sports bet had a market on them all scoring a try in the same game. So you're not going to do it with 90 seconds to go, but good to see anyway. Not great for Supercoach, obviously, but at least Benny Turbo finally got the run on the park. Yep. Any final words on this one, mate?
No, not really, mate. The other one I looked to dodge was actually Ruben Garrick. I was looking at him through the week. He was up over 600,000. I just thought Manly's run looks really sweet from here, and it still does. Like, this could just be a bit of a shake-up, you know, for Desi's side. But I was strongly looking at him after a strong performance, and I just thought, you know what? I reckon I'm going to get a similar output from Saab. Ended up happy with that decision, but yeah, he's certainly someone who you wouldn't have thought at the start of the year would be a $600,000 player. But you know, I think if Manly can turn it on, he's every chance of being a regular scorer every week.
3 tons so far this year. I couldn't believe that last week when I did some of the stats. But Ruben Garrick, killing it. And 47 here, you're not sneezing at that either, given some of those other Manly scores. So there you go. For a guy that was struggling to make the round one side, it's remarkable just how far he's come. Anton, what a big round 12 it's been. We have obviously a very big round 13. This is the moving week for a lot of super coaches who've planned for months and months to get the side they want, and then the carnage that happens inevitably with origin teams, injuries, suspensions, all that fun stuff. We've thankfully finally gotten there. Final word, how many are you looking at having suit up for you come this time next week?
Oh, geez, I have to check my side, but I'm a bit like you. I've got Utokomanu, I've got Simkin, those type of players where you're not 100% sure if they're going to saddle up. But let's just kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, I think I've got about 11 players. Not all of those are quality players. And that's another thing that, you know, people need to keep in mind too. It's not just about numbers in round 13. It's about, you know, there's no sense in, you know, kind of ringing in a bench prop just so you've got an extra number for the round. You know, you want them to be quality players that you don't necessarily have to kick out of your side straight away, or guys that are going to end up being an automatic emergency nightmare for you later on. So maybe just keep that in mind when you're trading.
Very interesting. I've actually managed to wrangle up 18. So, who knows, they'll probably all score 10. So that's, you know, I've gone hard on this round 13 week, but I've sort of cost myself around 17, I think. But anyway, Jimmy the Jet, Tokamano, can you just please score? It'd be great. Philly kick out. I've got my eye on you as well. Final thing, Anton, no watch house visits for you while you were in Brisbane. I didn't see your name in the paper on the on Monday for courthouse attendance or anything like that. You were relatively well behaved.
Yeah, relatively. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I was only in there for one night. So, I had a lot to get done and a lot of people to see and a lot of things to do. So there wasn't a lot of sleeping going on, but, I had an awesome time at Magic Round. And right. I strongly suggest that anybody if they have a chance next year, and if you've been thinking about it, you should just bloody hop on a plane and go do it. Because when I got on the plane, I was sitting next to the Warriors and I had the Panthers behind me. I did not know what to do with myself.
Your photo with Bunty, mate, will be framed. Thankfully, you went for the redo as well. I saw the selfie and I thought, oh, no, he's bottled it.
Mate, it was a shocker. And the shame of a grown man asking for a second snap because the first one you took was too shaky. You know, I'm in my late 30s. It's a little bit embarrassing. So, but he was very gracious and he signed my shirt and all that sort of stuff. I was actually sitting next to Josh Curran. And he told me to put him into his Supercoach team, and he scored a try. So thank you, Josh. Wish you a speedy recovery.
Bang. Josh Curran.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Would love him suiting up in round 17. Funny you say that about the whole getting photos thing. I saw Michael Morgan, my boy, on the Friday, King George yes. Square, and I got a photo with him. Then I walked away and I thought, I should have gotten him to reenact the trial with me. I haven't got you on socials, but I've well known amongst that circle to put some drunken Grand Final 2015 try reenactments up there.
I could see you doing a cold felt too on the concrete.
Oh, man. I would have absolutely bottled it, I reckon. I would have dropped the ball or something like that. And then you can't, I mean, asking for a photo is one thing, but asking for a second flick pass offload reenactment, I think that would have absolutely done me. That does us for this one, Anton. Thank you very much for joining me. I know it was a tough slog, Cowboys getting the Warriors. You obviously knew you were going to get some yeehaws and give your love to a Cowboy man, but you made it through. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll see you in the grand final anyway, so that's all good.
Ah, absolutely. If we don't meet the Bulldogs or the Sharks or any other fine NRL teams that we got going around. The best for your round 13, all the best for this coming week, and enjoy it, mate.
Yeah, you too, man. I'll speak to you later. Give your love to a cowboy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.